Life definitely has its fair share of ups and downs. We deal with the death of loved ones, different illnesses, mental health challenges, and every other struggle in between. But sometimes it's hard to be real and actually talk about this stuff. My name is Alexis Bean, but you can call me Lex. And this is Big Girl Panties Podcast. Here, I chat with both professional experts and other women like me who have their own story about living through grief, trauma, and other tough times, and how they have found a way to put on their big girl panties and thrive. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Big Girl Panties Podcast. A really, really interesting topic we're discussing on the show today. If you caught my last episode, my solo snippet, you'll know that I shared a bit of a sneak peek into today's episode where I'm chatting with Dr. Stephanie Guthman and Tara Hines about adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs. I had such a great time speaking with these ladies for this episode and learning a bit more about ACEs. The stats are really shocking, but not really. And I think that we should all be met with a call to action after listening to this episode. So before I dive in, let me give you brief backgrounds of my guests. Dr. Stephanie Guthman, who was actually a guest previously on the show, is a consulting school psychologist providing clinical therapeutic interventions for children and families, as well as administers psychoeducational and systematic assessments in diverse settings. She delivers technical assistance and training and works collaboratively with service organizations and government agencies on initiatives that are aimed to empower and create systematic change within corresponding communities. She's also a professionally certified trainer for therapeutic crisis intervention through Cornell University and has provided training and consultation to an extensive list of agencies, primarily in Bermuda, that are devoted to providing best practices and therapeutically competent care for children and families. Dr. Guthman is committed to the development and application of research and impactful interventions focused on making a difference in the lives of at-risk children and families, and views change as a positive opportunity for growth. My other guest, Tara Hines, is a certified epidemiologist and data analyst who has a background in mixed methods research. She has bachelor's degrees in political science and biology, with minors in chemistry, microbiology, and mathematics. With a deep love of basic science and benchwork applications, Tara became a professor in the Division of Natural and Computational Sciences at Gwynedd Mercy University. Tara completed her master's in public health, international health at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, with certificates in data analytics and vaccine sciences. Mrs. Hines also serves as a teaching assistant at Johns Hopkins and is a research assistant for faculty and studies across Eastern Europe, Western Africa, and the Caribbean. During our time at Johns Hopkins University, she also became a published ethicist at Berman Institute of Bioethics through Fogarty African Bioethics Training Program. Mrs. Hines' publications focus on the intersection between ethics, clinical application, and improving capacity to increase access for vulnerable populations. On sabbatical, and not one to sit still, Tara signed on with the Bermuda Health Council and served as the Data Analytics and Health Outcomes Researcher. So with those impressive backgrounds, my guests co-led the research study that we're going to be talking about today on adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs. So without further ado, here are my guests, Dr. Stephanie Guthman and Mrs. Tara Hines. Stephanie, Tara, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so excited to have you here with me. Just to kick things off, can one of you give me a quick introduction about a family center, what it is that they do, and I guess after that, give me an idea of their association with the ACEs study.
Oh, sure. I think I can do that. Thank you, Alexis. It's a pleasure to be here once again and speak on this important topic of ACEs, or adverse childhood experiences. So a little bit about family center. Family Center has been strengthening children and their families in our Bermuda community for well over 30 years. They have three pillars of service. Counseling services are provided to children ages 4 to 18 and their families. And in this pillar, care is provided to nurture and teach coping skills to overcome social, emotional, and behavioral challenges. And their services are free and confidential. That's really important to know.
Nice. I like that.
A second pillar is community outreach. And these programs include Youth Leadership Academy, Beyond Rugby. And here, connections are made with middle and high school youth who might not otherwise access the counseling services. Youth benefit from learning how to stay motivated in school, foster positive relationships. Youth can also access the needed resources. And the last and final pillar is focused on advocacy and prevention to empower professionals, schools, businesses, parents, and the community at large with the knowledge, resources, and support they need to ensure the well-being of Bermuda's children. Advocacy services include the delivery of workshops, presentations, public awareness campaigns, and collaboration with other agencies. And so, to put it in a nutshell, Family Center gives hope to families that a brighter day will come, showing children and families that they have the tools within themselves to create a better future.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you for sharing a bit about Family Center. And I feel like a lot of people hear about Family Center and a bit about what they do, but don't fully understand. So I'm very thankful that you're both here just to shed a little bit of light. So thank you for that.
And also, it's important to know that, you know, Family Center has been around for 30 years, and so their services have evolved over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, when they first started, you know, as a tutoring agency, they have evolved to counseling, to community, and certainly always advocacy and outreach. So there's a lot of work that they do that's very comprehensive.
Awesome. So what about Family Center's role, or how was the ACES study introduced?
Sure. So before I share a little bit more about the ACES study, I just kind of want to remind viewers, because I know I was on a while back, what ACES are. And ACES are adverse childhood experiences, and they are traumatic events that occur during childhood and prior to the age of 18. Mm-hmm. ACEs can have a significant impact on a person's physical, their emotional, and their mental health throughout their life. And so Family Center wanted to bring awareness about ACEs while simultaneously conducting a Bermuda-based ACEs study, or mm-hmm. Adverse Childhood Experiences study. And back in 2018, Family Center stood at the forefront and led on its first conference on ACEs. And the aim of that conference was to raise awareness and have a call to action on this topic. And we invited health professionals, social service providers, policy analysts, educators, really everyone from the community mm-hmm. to attend this event. And in addition, we started to begin building the first ACEs study, and we spoke about this at the conference, and Tara will share more about that as well. So Family Center partnered with the Bermuda Health Council, who provided the technical support mm-hmm. on this Bermuda study.
So with that, you did a Bermuda ACEs study. So why is it important for Bermuda to have their own, I guess, ACEs study?
Well, one of the first things that we wanted to do is we wanted to mirror the original landmark study, which happened in 1998 by Vince Felitti and Rob Anda. Mm-hmm. But what we also wanted to do is we wanted to make it about Bermuda. So the original ACEs study had 10 questions that touched on major types of adverse childhood experience events like household dysfunction, abuse, and neglect. And although the original study had since been expanded upon, it still didn't have questions that were really integral to our community in Bermuda. Okay. And so we decided to add relevant questions that were important for understanding the context of growing up and living in Bermuda.
Okay, that makes sense. I guess to personalize it for us, you know.
Yeah, make it real for Bermuda.
Yeah. So what did you need to do to create those questions that you asked and to set up the study?
I can certainly hop in here. Thank you, Alexis, for having us again. As Stephanie started to touch on, the Bermuda Health Council came in for the technical support, and that's how I was initially introduced to the ACEs study. Stephanie and I became co-PIs on the project. And that kind of really started by looking for a base, as Stephanie noted, that would capture what had already been done in the original study, but that we wanted to look for something that was made to be international. Mm-hmm. So we began with the World Health Organization ACE-IQ, which stands for International Questionnaire. And that had been developed by the World Health Organization Action Group to be used in any country across the world. This would allow us to at least have some baseline comparators or comparisons between the different countries who had already used the ACE-IQ mm-hmm. or were regularly doing ACE's questionnaires.
Got it.
And the part where we get to the Bermuda kind of questions, concepts, awareness is through all of the studies, surveys, especially around Bermuda health, Bermuda public health, to be able to find out kind of what had already been done, what was established in terms of patterns for what can impact health and impact growing up in Bermuda. One thing that we found is that there really hasn't been a lot done in Bermuda by Bermudians inside of the island under control, where it's then coming back to the island for Bermuda. Mm-hmm. A lot of what we found has either been studies that were done outside from other countries or were done externally. And we really wanted to make sure that all of this was being done, acknowledging our Bermuda respondents, who we're incredibly grateful to, and that the information was coming back.
Okay, thank you. So when you set out to ask these questions, have these surveys out there to the public, and proceeded with your research, what did you find that was missing when you did the Bermuda study? Like, what made you decide to pick the things that you did?
Absolutely. So the surveys that have been out there previously, a lot were done by government or smaller agencies, which are a phenomenal wealth of resources, but doesn't necessarily get to what it's like to grow up in Bermuda or talk about the kinds of really integral concepts for Bermuda too. So by the surveys that we used previously were those that were published most often by government and really are looking at broader statistics. And what we needed to do was to really hone in on what it is like to grow up in Bermuda. We essentially did was expanded that process and then looked through all of the different integral concepts that kind of continuously were coming up and hadn't been measured previously. And we found that there were really these three different types of experiences that have not been captured really in any ACE around the world and are so pervasive in what we're reading, seeing, and hearing, especially in Bermuda. And that's around experiences of race, poverty, and trauma associated with road traffic accidents.
Wow. That, I'm sorry to stop you there. I'm not sure if you had anything.
No, that's exactly the response that we're hoping to make sure that we capture.
Yeah. Like,
it's reflective.
Because, you know, as you say that, I know that there are many conversations that are had or should be had around race and poverty and for on one end, but the trauma, I know that people can automatically pick that up, right? When it comes to road traffic in general, but also road traffic accidents, because I'm sure everyone on the island knows someone who has been impacted in one way or another by a road traffic accident. So that's really important.
Hey guys, just popping in really quickly to invite the ladies listening to our next meetup in the Big Girl Panties chat room. We'll be chatting all things 2021. This may seem like a generic topic, but we've just finished experiencing a year like no other, and I think it's an important time for us to check in. Let's talk about our goals. Let's talk about where our state of mind is. Some of us may have experienced wins already this year and are energized for the rest of what's to come. Some of us may have experienced heartbreak and don't really know which way is up. This is a chance for all of us to come together, check in, and connect. This invitation is open to all women and girls age 16 and over. So again, you do not have to be a millennial woman to attend, but it's a great informal way for us to check in with each other. Ask any of the other women who usually attend. People come from all over, and many of the ladies do not know each other personally. So don't feel out of place if you're coming solo. To join in, just RSVP at www.bgplife.com and head to the tab that reads BGP Connect. I can't wait to see you all on Wednesday, January 27th at 8 o'clock p.m. Atlantic Standard Time or 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, this is for the first meetup of 2021 in the Big Girl Panties chat room. I'll see you there. Okay, let's get back to our episode.
So along with that, I guess just to follow up, can you tell us how you went about getting the study out there, right? Like, how did you go about getting this information?
Okay, I can answer that. What we did is we took all of the questions that had been evaluated and approved by the Bermuda Ethics Review Committee and developed online and print surveys that were advertised nationally and also made available to be read out loud should people wish. Mm-hmm. And it's also important to know, due to the sensitivity of many of the questions, all of the information that people responded to was confidential. We never knew who said what, and everyone's answers were kept private and confidential. We reached out to specific groups and organizations, including government agencies, and we even had questions translated into Portuguese because we also wanted to remove all barriers to completing the survey.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's really important because as you're sharing the kinds of questions and the kind of data that you're trying to obtain from this, you know, it's sensitive and the topics, they're not easy, right? They're not easy to discuss through, I guess, because they're so important. So that is really interesting and cool to know that you went about obtaining the information in the way that you did. So that's great to know. I guess as a follow-up question to that, what were some of your findings? What were some of your key findings? Was there anything from the information that was surprising to you?
So I really want to reiterate how grateful we are to our participants. We had a response rate of over 700 unique households. And of that, the respondents were primarily women. The detail or the thing to keep in mind was that we really wanted to make sure that we could capture information from as many people and as many different demographics or characteristics as possible. And we did successfully receive responses from all different socioeconomic, education, and employment backgrounds. I'm not sure if it would have been a surprise or an interesting finding. However, I do know that this was what kind of drew us to look at very different analytics in that the original exposure rate or the amount of people who have said that they experienced at least one ACE in the United States that we kind of walked into the study with the baseline of was 60 to 61% of respondents. Mm-hmm. Compared to that rate, Bermuda had a number of responses that was about 98% had experienced at least one ACE or adverse childhood experience before the age of 18. So that's a pretty significant difference when you're looking at a 37% increase over what the average was. However, I do want to make clear, part of this is going to be influenced by the fact that we do have those additional questions that touch on three very pervasive topics. And then the kind of the flip side to that is that the vast majority of people who fell within kind of sharing that they had experienced at least one adverse childhood experience, the types of experiences that they were talking about were most often related to abuse, neglect, or experiences around race. And they also reported having at least one chronic disease or high risk factor as an adult.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those stats are incredible. And I say incredible in like the true sense of the word, not in like a positive sense. I understand now why you are having discussions like this, like with me and hopefully other people as well to share this knowledge, because 98% is huge. 98%
Absolutely.
Is huge. And I feel like the work that Family Center is doing, the work that you are doing, you both are doing alongside Family Center and hopefully others in the community helps to address this. Correct me if I'm wrong at some point, but yeah, those stats are astronomical in my opinion. So really quickly, before I go back to, I guess, my question on what can we do? You mentioned that women were a high percentage of the respondents for the study. So specifically, how did this relate to women, or how could women take this information going forward? A large amount of my listeners with Big Girl Panties podcast are women. So what were the specific findings that were particularly relevant to women, and what should we be aware of?
There are a lot of different details that we were able to kind of pull out and I think can be useful as you may be able to kind of navigate. Both Stephanie and I are female co-PIs building this research. So this also spoke to us kind of on that really integral level of understanding how much of this is coming from female respondents or those who identify as women. And so I think the biggest kind of takeaway is this understanding that there aren't any lines for adverse childhood experiences coming from the findings. There often is the kind of notion that education or finance or social status can be protective. But what we've found is that really the exposure to adverse childhood experiences, prevalence of chronic disease and risk behaviors crosses over all economic, educational, racial, cultural, and age-based characteristics that we captured in the research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. And I think that the data that you're sharing, right, I feel like it kind of perfectly reflects, or I guess I'm not using the right term here, but I think that it's a perfect mirror, I guess, for things like Big Girl Panties podcast, organizations like what I'm doing here, right, to say that this is relevant for all of us, trauma, all of us. And I think that what you're sharing from the ACEs study is that this data, this affects us all in one way or another. But it is important, as you're sharing the data, that is specific to Bermuda. So thank you for sharing that. So what can we do? What can we do as the public, as listeners? What would you say is important for people to walk away with from listening to you guys discuss this today? ACEs are incredibly pervasive and impactful. So what can we do as people?
I think that's always the first kind of inclination or feeling, especially from a very Bermudian community base. And we've been very grateful to see that as well. And the key takeaway, although there's a lot of other information in the white paper that you'll hear more about, is that ACEs are preventable for children, but mm-hmm. they're also treatable for adults. Often, because we're hearing about adverse childhood experiences, the kind of immediate response is to think about interventions for children. But ACEs really should be recognized as an important part of both mental health and physical health mm-hmm. across the entire spectrum of life, like from young to old, or young to elderly, I should say. They don't go away by themselves. It's not just a part of growing up. And I think often we find that we take fault mm-hmm. for, you know, and take the blame on for ourselves. But adverse childhood experiences are not about blame or fault, especially when we're looking at interventions and treatment where we can move to a different place.
Thank you. Thank you, Tara. That's important to share. And I think for people to walk away with and to remember as we go forward with this. So, you know, we're walking away understanding this about ACEs, understanding its significance or its impact, I should say, to us as adults, but also with the knowledge on how to prevent this for our children. So where can we learn more information if we want to help with ACEs, or if we want to help others? Where can we get further information? Because I'm interested now to look further into this, to learn more about this, to help myself, because like myself, I'm sure others can recognize that they have an ACE or two in their own lives, and then also help prevent this for the children in our lives. So where can we go for more information, and we want to help others with ACEs?
Great question. The study can be found on Family Center's website, where you'll find much, much more information. There are multiple resources on their website about ACEs now, and eventually this podcast will reach their website. Family Center's website is www.tfc.bm, or you can call 441-232-1116. This is really just the beginning with our white paper release. This year, we're going to be working with the community to bring ACEs awareness into community action.
That sounds great. I'm looking forward to that. So I'm going to make sure that I head over to Family Center's website, and I really encourage all of you out there listening to do the same, because this is important for all of us. This conversation is important for all of us, and it's important for us to grow our knowledge with our own ACEs and help to prevent them for the children in our lives. So again, Family Center's website is www.tfc.com. www.cami.bm, or we can give them a call at 441-232-1116. So, Tara, Stephanie, thank you both so much for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure having you here. I feel like I know you guys now.
Likewise.
But before I let you go, Stephanie, you probably know what I'm going to ask. But
I do.
I have to ask you both the famous question. What does putting on your big girl panties mean to you? What does that look like in your life? And Stephanie, since you answered this question, Tara, I'm going to let you answer this question first.
Sure. Thank you, Alexis. And as you mentioned, I mean, Stephanie and I are really in this research. This has been a very personal endeavor over the past now going on 3 years. So when I heard about the title of your podcast, I had to chuckle because I have a little paperweight that sits on my desk and it says, put on your big girl panties and deal with it. And I consistently sort of think about that changeover often, especially as women were raised to be demure, to be apologetic, to not make waves, but to get things done somehow. Mm-hmm. And I think at some point, put on your big girl panties, which is a very intimate process. it becomes this like putting on your armor, right? That no one can see, that you're going in and you're going to take care of things. And then it doesn't require a big show to do so, that you have yourself and that you can do this on behalf of others as well. So it really is a reaffirming call to action every morning about undergarments.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
Stephanie?
Yes. Thank you, Alexis. And I am going to answer it a little differently this time. So what does it mean to me? What does putting on my big girl panties mean to me? It means dare to be your best you. Mm. Be fierce. The world needs you to be your best you. Because today, yes, today, I'm wearing my big girl panties.
Ooh, I love that. I feel like that makes me excited to start my day, right?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, that's encouraging. I like that. That's gonna be a quote, I think. Get quotes from both of you. Thank you both so much for those empowering responses. I love it. No wonder you're able to successfully do the work that you do, right?
We really appreciate you having us on. This is such an important topic to get out and to spread around to the community. And so we are so grateful for this opportunity. Thank you.
No, thank you guys both for joining me today. And I'm excited for others to get to hear this conversation. And I'm excited for others listening to share this conversation and share the resources that you shared with their loved ones, and we can keep trying to make an impact. So thank you.
Thanks guys for tuning in to today's episode of Big Girl Panties Podcast. I really, really hope that you found this conversation interesting and, you know, the information shared invaluable. If you'd like to research more on ACEs, please head over to Family Center's website at www.tfc.bm. And they have so much information for you to read and learn more. Dr. Stephanie and Tara left an email address that you can use to send your questions. So for any study-specific questions, please send an email to acesbermuda@gmail.com. That's acesbermuda@gmail.com for any questions that you have that are specific to the ACES study. And remember, if you're interested in joining in the next meetup in the Big Girl Panties chat room, please RSVP at bgplife.com. And when you go to the site, you just go under BGP Connect and the invitation to RSVP is right there. And we'll be meeting in the chat room on Wednesday, January 27th at 8 o'clock p.m. Atlantic Standard Time or 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're going to be chatting all things 2021. We're going to be chatting our greatest expectations, our celebrations, maybe some of the losses that we've experienced so far. Those of you who have been in attendance before, you know that it's a great time. You know that it's a great place for us to connect as women. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys there. If you haven't joined in before, you're really in for a treat. So I hope you RSVP. And if you'd like to keep up with me between episodes, you can friend me on Instagram at BGPLife or on Facebook at BGPLifeBlog. I think that's all for now. Thanks, guys, for tuning in to this episode. I'll talk to you again soon. I love you, and I'll see you next time.